We are live here in the station with Tom Furman, who is the director of the Two Harbors HRA, Housing and Redevelopment Authority. Thanks for being here, Tom. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, and I know you've been here with Leo as well. It seems like there's pretty much always more to talk about with housing. And first, let's have a little clarity about, you know, the big news on everyone's mind right now is this new development on the waterfront. And that's something that's really happening between the city and the developer. Is that right? That's not an HRA thing.
No, that's not an HRA thing. HRA is focused on low-income housing. And this is not looking at this kind of a situation in that direction. But it definitely has a lot of planning and zoning and a lot of city administration work to do, as well as working with the developer.
So I'm guessing you're watching it with interest.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I think that housing in general needs to be understood. If you're going to try to work with low-income housing, you need to understand all the housing situations in Two Harbors.
So let's just start with a little discussion of the history. It seems like housing was, for a long time, was just considered something that would naturally rise and fall, and it would also be taken care of, and it wasn't something that people had to pay particular attention to. Is that accurate?
I think that was believed to be the truth. But
yeah.
The thing is, you know, we had a market system where our economics were doing well enough and middle class families could afford to buy a house. And as things changed, our government didn't change with it. Our economical situation didn't change with it. So we've had to make sure that we step in at times and correct the issues that are going on. And right now, especially with building prices being so high, it's a time when we need to make sure that middle-class Americans, labor force housing workers can actually afford to buy a house or rent a house and make their steps into where they could home ownership in the near future. And right now, we need to make sure that that happens. So that's part of what the work that I do is.
Yeah. How long have you been at this?
3.5 years here in Two Harbors, a little bit more, but I also worked in Duluth HRA. So HRAs are a very important step in the process of making sure homes can be affordable for people.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily mean what you build, but what you sort of displace as well. Explain your thoughts about the effect of the short-term rental shift in Two Harbors on our housing stock in general.
Sure. I think understanding the exact situation with short-term rentals, you have to look at the larger picture of what actually the city receives in the way of income from having a family that actually sits and resides and spends their money within the town that they live in. So if a person lives in Two Harbors versus if they come here for vacation, there's a lot more economic impact that actually occurs when they live here than when they just come and spend their money here. It's not always well understood, but I think that the process of putting a cap on it, as the city council did a little while back, ends up benefiting Two Harbors as a whole in two directions. The first one is the residents who actually live in Two Harbors are going to, of course, spend their money here. You're going to end up generating that money and rotating it through our own economy, and that's called velocity of money. But anyway, it's really where you're able to buy a pair of shoes from the local shoe guy, and he ends up having the extra money to be able to go ahead and spend it locally at the hardware store, and he ends up turning it the money that's spent there ends up getting spent at the restaurant here in town as well. It keeps our money local, and it ends up benefiting us much more as a whole. The other part is that it actually make sure that houses don't go escalating way out of control. And I think that we've seen that all over the United States, and especially any place that's attractive to short-term rental vacationers. So especially places all the way up and down the North Shore, we see prices of houses skyrocketing into the $3,000, $400,000, when they're really supposed to be more accurately placed at about $200,000, $250,000, or even less sometimes. So we're seeing a little bit of a correction by capping that short-term rental market.
And have prices dropped appropriately since that cap has been placed?
Not yet. It takes a little while for that to really take effect. And we do have very, very few houses on the market in general. We did see a big fluctuation in Silver Bay when we ended up, the mine closed. And
yep.
So that ended up creating a vacant housing market. So we did see about 20 or so come on the market suddenly. And that's a little bit wonky, but that was, you know, a number of things in play at the same time. And so there's going to be that pendulum shifting effect. And when you look at a microcosm of like Silver Bay or Two Harbors, there's going to be some overreactions at points. So.
Yeah. And when I look around, I mean, the short-term vacation rental, as you say, is a widespread thing, phenomenon, I'll say. Yeah. And, you know, the number of short-term rentals allowed in cities varies just wildly. Like some cities, none, some cities, thousands, and some just hundreds. And I now think we have sort of capped ours where they were sitting when the ordinance came down at 50 something. Is that like, is that a good number? Is that too high? Is that too low? Like, how do we know what's appropriate?
You know, it's hard to know what's actually appropriate in this kind of a situation, but I think just the concept of capping it is what we really wanted to make sure, so that it doesn't escalate and continue to escalate. So capping it at 50, capping it at 20, capping it at 100, wherever it was, as long as anything that's new on the market now is going to be able to be brought, you're going to be able to bring in a labor force housing, you're going to be able to bring in a younger family that's going to be able to work on the house, and especially in Two Harbors where we have an office, a lot of homes that are older and need the work. So bringing in younger families to be able to put work and effort into the foundation rebuild or the house, the roof or whatever's needed is really important, because we have an awful lot of homes that need that little TLC.
Right. It seems like our roads and our homes are kind of following the same track, because a lot of both have had neglect for a long time.
Well, and it's easier to repair than it is to replace when you catch it in time. If you wait too long, you just need to tear it down. And I hate seeing houses being torn down, because it's a part of our history.
Right, and it's a waste.
It is.
It's a lot of material.
It is.
And those materials are hard to come by these days.
They're very expensive.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, tell us, I know there is some new, not beyond ideas, new development happening within the HRA. Tell us about that.
Well, the big project is, of course, our senior affordable housing that's going to be going up just south of August Omnivet Drive. It's on the corner of August Omnivet and 15th. We're working with D.W. Jones. Things have not finalized completely yet, because we're still waiting to get the tax credit funding and a few other pieces and parts. But this is a fantastic project. It's probably going to be somewhere between 48 and 60 units. And it's going to be allowing a lot of people that currently reside in Two Harbors that are oftentimes on a fixed income of just Social Security, so that they can move into a nice apartment, and their rents will be capped at 30% of their income, probably. We need to make sure that we get project-based vouchers and other things kind of through there. Otherwise, you know, it's still going to be affordable. We just don't know the actual rent rate that things are going to be at, because this is going to be a D.W. Jones development project. The good thing is as a developer, we're making the deal, working with them to make sure that over time, this will be turned over to the city HRA in 15 years after the beginning. So this is a wonderful opportunity for making sure that we have a lot of longevity in our housing market and our city-powered HRA.
Yeah, and tell us, like, HRA's role, it sounds like it's more than just sort of being a conduit and being between the developer and the consumer. Is HRA going to manage the property in 15 years, or how does that work?
Yeah, in 15 years we will.
Okay.
We actually, initially I thought we were going to be moving in and probably managing it in the front end, but with D.W. Jones coming in, they have such a strong reputation, and it's going to be tax credit compliance, and they are experts when it comes to this kind of work. So the HRA is taking a step back away from it, and we're just going to hang out for 15 years and wait for the time elapsed for the tax credits to come through, be finalized, and then we can go ahead and take over when all that's said and done.
Okay. And so what incentive does a developer have to build this if they're not going to get all the rents for indefinitely?
They still end up making money. They've got 15 years to do it, and they end up getting what I've mentioned as being tax credits, and that ends up being an amount of money that they're able to sell on the open market, and most oftentimes it's to investment bankers or in banks of some sort that need to invest in the area, and they end up paying, you know, dollar for dollar. That they get the tax credits, they end up giving us money so that we can afford to build the place, and that's part of what the income process is, that defrays the cost of the build, and then they're able to recoup the last of the bit of the money from rents that they receive. And so the developer ends up not doing this for free. Of course, they're going to make their money back plus a little bit of return on their investment. And so after that whole thing, they're not losing money, but they're just not raking it over hand over fist. Then, and that's part of the reason that I really like D.W. Jones working with us, because they have been, every step of the way, they feel like they're doing it for the right reasons, really caring about individuals, especially when we're talking about seniors.
Mm-hmm. So, and all developers are not created equal. So this is a vetted developer is what you're telling
Very
me.
Very vetted. Yeah. I've had a number of dealings with them in Duluth. I've worked with a lot of other executive directors who have worked with D.W. Jones. I've spoken with Skip and the team a number of times. They are, they're a wonderful organization so far.
Wonderful.
I always have a skeptical part of my mind, but
right.
So far I'll tell you, nothing has rang up bells or thrown up flags or anything, so I'm very impressed.
Great. I'm speaking with Tom Furman. He is the director of the City of Two Harbors' HRA, and we're discussing, you know, developments happening now and in the future and where we came from and where we're going. One more question about this particular project, Tom, is, you know, there's been some major legislation this year on clean energy, and I've learned a lot about the benefits of energy independence. You know, you have your own solar panels, and then your utility bills either go down or you get paid. What kind of you know, energy attention is being put to this particular development?
Well, again, this is actually a choice of the developer that they get to choose, not the HRA. But I will say that they are very conscientious, and they've talked about a number of green energy kind of projects and stuff that they're going to go ahead and include within the build project. But
you don't know necessarily what they are, but you're hearing them talk about it.
Well, I'm not going to be the dictator on this kind of a situation. I know that they have come to and asked about, you know, what do you think about? And I'm very happy when they bring up the idea of much more of an environmental friendly kind of an environment of regenerating energy, pulling from the ground, doing the solar photovoltaic cells on top. You know, there's an awful lot of good thinking that's going with the development process.
Yeah, I'll be so interested to hear on that as that develops, because with energy prices going up, especially traditional energy prices, it does seem like it's a no-brainer now to really frame it up differently and set people up for the future. So it's good to hear.
And I will say, just kind of an early kind of a scattering of thoughts, we are working on doing single-family home builds, and energy conscientiousness was the forefront of the thought process, along with keeping the build price down. These are the two things that we as an HRA are very conscientious of, and we are actually putting the groundwork in to set the stage and get it right for the things that we're doing. And we're working with the high school, we're working with other developers
yeah.
for single family homes, or in that's going to be more for labor force housing, not seniors.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm going to have you back to talk about that at another time. That's probably a whole another conversation, but really exciting. But let's actually dive into, you know, what else. So, well, first of all, when is this senior project hopefully going to be finished?
Pending making sure that we get things through the tax credit forces and everything that go on through the government, through the state government, we'll be breaking ground in the spring of 2024 and actually filling it in the spring of 2025. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah, should move forward at a good clip. And are people able to sign on or get on a list before it's finished?
That would be a D.W. Jones question.
Okay. So that's still, yeah, we're years away, not months, but not many years.
No,
so.
We're months. I mean, in my mind, we're within 2 years, so that's within 24 months. And
yeah.
I don't mind counting it down just like a child. I mean, when you talk about their age, this
Good.
Is so soon.
It sounds like you really, in your years here, you're really seeing things move forward and change. Is that a safe
Yeah, well,
assessment?
I think that the stage was already set very well for seeing a lot more housing recognition, because housing as an industry had been neglected around the entire Minnesota North Range area. There were a lot of things that really needed to happen. And so I just stepped in at a time where it was ready to happen. It was a tinderbox ready to be lit, and I think that I just kind of stepped in at the right time, and we were able to move things forward and really see things happen much quicker than a lot of people may be comfortable with. But at the same time, it was so ready, and a lot of people do recognize the fact that these things needed to happen.
Well, it's good to hear you say that. And at the same time, we all know there's no sort of single solution that will forever solve our housing issues and, you know, lots of things get talked about. What other things other than this development are at the forefront of your mind as far as what we can be doing?
I think that we need to make sure that our community works with other grant opportunities. And right now, AEOA has a couple really fantastic grants that allow for setting up better down payment options for first-time home buyers, for people that are low income that have usually been spending all their money on rent and now need to want to, or desired the idea of actually home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And the AEOA has a couple grant opportunities. Originally, I was looking at trying to find seed money, doing all this stuff myself, and I realized it's actually out there already. Why do I need to reinvent the wheel? It's already there. I'm not looking at, you know, making sure that the HRA makes money. I'm looking at trying to make sure our community actually starts getting the benefits that are out there and available.
Yeah.
So we'll be working with them on that. We'll be working with them on emergency funding for people that end up losing a furnace during the middle of the winter and they need to get it replaced. Things of this sort where, you know, if they're having problems just keeping their house afloat, would rather, again, invest in making sure that that house stays in good care rather than letting it go into dilapidation.
Right. And then another thing I know they've discussed along the North Shore, there's discussion of tiny houses and where do they fit in? Also, the density in towns, and can we turn our garage into an apartment? Sometimes ordinances and other rules really affect the availability of that. Is that something you're working on?
Well, that's actually much more of a city council purview kind of a situation where they're going to be looking at what's going to be right for the city as a whole. My work is making sure that we have affordable housing within the parameters that are set forth by the city council. And I have opinions on things, and I think tiny homes are great if you want them, but I think that it's a horrible idea to force people to live in tiny homes if they can't afford a full-sized home. I think that we need to make sure that that's a choice that people have, because I think it's great to live in a, you know, with a little bit less of an impact on our environment. But
and that does suit a certain outdoor young person, I think. There's a very specific person that fits that would want the tiny home. I mean, the people I know, they're all in that category.
Especially in the Northland. You have to have a very different mindset
you
to be able to really say, okay, I'm going to live outside the majority of the time. Because with a tiny home, your living space is actually the world, not the inside of your little cabin.
Right. Right. And in fact, the tiny homes they're talking about in Grand Marais, they would, if they're going to build a whole little community of tiny homes, they're talking about building a big, huge shed for all their toys, which we know doesn't mean tractors. It means kayaks and canoes and bikes and boards.
I think that's wonderful. And I think that possibly Grand Marais is the perfect place for that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, would it work in two harbors? I'm not sure. You know, I think that we need to do a little bit better of a housing study to see if that kind of a thing has interest.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm game for it. I just, I just don't want to make sure that this is not something that we're pigeonholing low-income housing into, because, you know, if you can't afford a big home, then we'll give you a little home. I mean, there's a certain issue that I have with that kind of thought.
Right. And I would also add that the people that I know and the interest around it, it's all within a few years. And none of these people have had children yet or, you know, moved to the next phase. So, you know, it does remain to be seen. You know, is this a short-term thing or do people do this? And I should not, I mean, I think there are probably people right in the Northwoods here that are not in the category I'm talking about. They're older and they're living happily in tiny homes. So I hope I didn't just completely diss them and you, if you are a listener in that category. But that's just an observation. I think you're right. You know, we just have to look at the big picture and keep moving forward on some sort of clear, obvious steps to provide better average basic housing for people who want to do the basic things of having a family and a livelihood and safety and security, essentially.
Well, despite the ever-increasing cost of living, it still remains our most popular activity.
Right. Right. What would we do without our homes? Well, Tom, this has been a really good conversation. I'm wondering, we did not get to have Zach with us here to talk about county and city working together, but we will do that in the future. Is there anything that I forgot to ask that you'd like to highlight?
No, I think that, making sure that Zach and I have some time to work together is going to be beneficial. Zach is our very new Lake County HRA Executive Director, and he and I have worked together a little bit here and there. And I think that we have an awful lot of great steps moving forward. And I look forward to working with him.
Wonderful.
And the entire county and the city, too.
Yeah. Well, you have been really fun to interview, I got to tell you.
Well, thanks.
So
thanks for having
me. We're off to a wonderful start. Thank you so much. And we'll have you again.
Fantastic.
All right. That was Tom Furman, director of the Two Harbors City HRA